This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome in live nationwide and around the world to Ron Segi Today. And our first guest this week is a country legend. Crystal Gayle will be joining us after 16 years. She's got a brand new CD out called You Don't Know Me. Later on, the premier presidential historian, Doris Kearns Goodwin, with a new book called Leadership in Turbulent Times. Can't wait to talk to her. Next hour, stand-up comedian Jeff Allen will be joining us. Then Melissa Tittle will be here. She's an investigative journalist, and she's got a new film called Unearthing Nazca, talking about mummies in Peru. Later on, actress and comedian Judy Gold, and then we'll talk cybersecurity with Stacey Nash. And that's all coming up this week with Ron Segi Today. After a quick pause, we'll be back with our first guest this first hour, beautiful Crystal Gayle.
Wayne Allyn-Root. It's time to get in on the 21st century gold rush. I've been a buyer and collector of gold and precious metals for over 20 years, and the reasons to own it are stronger now than ever before in history. The central banks of the world run a record buying spree. Shouldn't you be too? Do you think maybe they know something you don't? Prices are up $200 per ounce in just the last 60 days. In the last gold bull market, it took 4 years for prices to rise $200 per ounce. This is the beginning of an explosive new 21st century gold rush. Analysts see gold prices rising to between $2,000 and $10,000 an ounce. But who you buy it from may be even more important. Swiss America has been America's most trusted name in gold and silver for over 35 years. Swiss America has bought and sold billions of dollars of precious metals for tens of thousands of clients. You need to know how to profit on this next big move. Call Swiss America today and receive a free special report just for my listeners, plus a free 30-minute DVD starring Wayne Allyn-Root. Call 800-BUY-COIN. That's 800-BUY-COIN. 800-289-2646 or visit SwissAmerica.com.
Does your car, RV, truck, or boat look faded or perhaps has some minor surface scratches? Painting a vehicle is very expensive and permanent. That's why I recommend SignZoo. SignZoo is the nation's premier vinyl design and wrap company. A 3M vinyl wrap can outlive a painted vehicle by years, and it can be removed at any time without damaging the original finish. Licensed, insured, the best warranty in the business, and over 20 years experience is just a few reasons to choose SignZoo. Whether a wrap to promote your business or change the color of your car, RV, truck, or boat, a vinyl wrap is less expensive and more versatile than paint. And remember, SignZoo services the country nationwide. For your convenience, visit their website today at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com. And get ready for a brand new look.
Then you say hello, and I can hardly speak. My heart is beating so, and anyone can tell. You think you know me well, but you don't know me.
And we are back live all across the USA and around the world. You're listening to Ron Segi Today, and we're listening to a voice that's actually coming from heaven. And I mean that sincerely. Our next guest has been with us several times in the past, but I am extra excited to talk to her today because that's the name of her brand new CD that's out right now. It came out on the 6th of September. And I have to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, this is a sensational CD. It's called You Don't Know Me. Joining us right now is Crystal Gayle. Hi, Crystal. How are you? Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me on. I'm excited.
Crystal, I got to be totally candid with you. I do this a lot with actors and singers and sports people and politicians. They say, oh, you like the show. It was a good show. It was a good CD. I got this CD the other day, took it to my office, and I started listening to it. About an hour later, one of the staff members came in and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm listening to Crystal Gayle's new CD. He said, you've been in here for an hour and a half. I said, this is the third time I've listened to it, okay? I got to be honest with you, dear. It is sensational. You have taken all of these great songs from your childhood and my childhood and put them into a new arrangement that makes it sound new again, and it's country as you and I remembered it.
Well, that's what I grew up with, and I love it. And you know, that is the style of songs that are in my heart. And, you know, when I started recording, my sister, as we can say, Loretta Lynn,
sure.
Some people don't have that. I'm always shocked. But she said, don't sing my songs. She said, don't record what I would. She said, you go MLR, middle of the road. So, you know, that's the direction I sort of went after because she was very right in it. I don't think I would have had the success I had if I had gone down the same path. And she said, you'll just be compared. And but to be able to come back and do these songs that, you know, I remember singing them on stage or in the car in the backyard.
Well, there's no doubt. Now, I'm going to say something that I mean totally complimentary, okay? No matter what stage or what level of success that a singer has reached, it is always a very risky thing to do a cover of a song better than the original artist. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now, Crystal. There are songs that are better than the original, and we're talking about the originals by people like the great Ray Charles, Patsy Cline, Buck Owens, Marty Robbins, Engelbert Humperdinck. We're talking about songs that really and truly you have put a new twist to, and that's a risky thing to do because typically people want to hear the original. But boy, now when they hear this.
It was something that when I went into, you know, I wanted to keep some of that original, the feel that they had, but still be me. And I can only sing a song like I would sing it. And even though I always, you know, growing up, oh, I want that soprano voice. I want that, you know.
Right.
You always want what you don't have.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I just put them in a way that, I went in the studio with my son, Christos, who helped produce, co-produced, as well as mixed the CD and engineered the CD. And it was really giving them the studio to have him see and hear what I grew up singing,
mm-hmm.
what was part of my background, you know, to really hear what real country music is all about. You know, I know that you go back and country music started, actually, to me, it was the folk music that came over from Scotland, from Ireland, from England, because if you go, and my mother would sing these hill songs, as I call them, but you could hear the lilt, you could hear the words that, you know, came from overseas. And, you know, I always loved it. Letting him hear this and see this, it was just a great time.
Well, and the one thing about all of these songs, every single one of them, was during an era of radio where they were crossover hits. See, they weren't considered country songs. They were considered crossovers. I mean, you know, as a top 40 disc jockey, I played You Don't Know Me, you know, There Goes My Everything, Hello Walls, Please Help Me, I'm Falling, and that's on a top 40 chart. But you mentioned your son. This is really a family affair. Your son, Christos, cousin of yours, and daughter, they all took a part in this thing, and your sisters. That is the true meaning of a family affair.
And my brother, J. Lee Webb, wrote one of the songs.
Sure.
He was so fantastic. I mean, he was such a great entertainer, as well as singer. And he wrote this song, and it's on one of his albums that, I mean, he did such a fantastic job. This was, I think it was produced by Owen Bradley, that particular album. But it was just, I always loved it. And I wish I'd actually put it on an album a long time ago, just for him.
Well, I didn't realize that Gordon Lightfoot wrote the song Ribbon of Darkness, and then Marty Robbins had a hit of it in 65. Hank Williams, You Win Again, Crying Time, written by Buck Owens, but of course the great Ray Charles made it the huge hit. Patsy Cline, Walking After Midnight. And now this bonus that you have on here, which is titled I Cried the Blue Right Out of My Eyes. This was done in 1969 as a demo?
It was somewhere, it could have been 68, it could have been, I'm not sure exactly what year. I had been going to Nashville and doing demos for Surefire Music. And this was a song that they had me do the demo on. And it was a song that, which I recorded, and it was my first single. But the melody is a tad bit different on this version because it was the demo version. And it's unmastered. It was just, you know, you go in and you sing it and that's it. You move on to the next song.
Right.
Totally different nowadays.
Yeah, there's no real arrangement to it. It's just a basic thing so another singer can come in and make a hit out of it.
Yeah, play the song, you do it, and then they put their magic to it.
Sure. Now, in all the years that your sister Loretta and Peggy Sue worked on stage. I mean, you've worked a few places on stage together. You had never recorded a song together until Put It Off Until Tomorrow on this CD, right?
Yes, that was the first time. And I actually was down at Loretta's, and Peggy was there, too, and we were just goofing off as normal. Patsy Lynn Russell, who is one of the twins of Loretta's, came in and said, "Hey, Mom, Chris was doing a country album. Will you want to sing on it?" And she said, "Sure." So we picked the song. I had the track down. We picked one we knew that we all knew, so it would be easy. And we went in, and I mean, she was fantastic in the studio doing it. And if I'd had 10 tracks done or 12 or what, she would have sang every one of them.
Wow.
I mean, she was in great voice. She was just in a perfect place. And it was hindsight. You know, who thought that I could do a few more? I didn't want to push push the buttons and say, "Hey, I've got something else."
Right.
But I should have, and we would have had that duet album. But
next time.
But this is special. This is a special song for us.
Why did you wait 16 years between your last CD and this one, Crystal?
I never count years, time. I don't even know how many albums I have out, but I really didn't realize it had been that long because I've been in the studio doing different things, and people would say, "Would you sing on this?" I'd say, "Okay, sure," or just, you know, having fun. That I didn't realize the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, you know, having almost 25 number ones, having all the success I've had, it's a cycle in music where things change. And I knew that going in and doing a normal album was not going to get played on radio. It was just that's what things were going to be. So I think that was in the back of my mind that, I'm just having fun in the studio doing the things and putting my feet up a little bit here and there because I had my exhibit at the Country Music Hall of Fame. This has been, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Time flies.
Yeah.
It's hard to, like I said, I can't put a date on things, but I was going through all the things that we put in the museum, and it was like, I did that, I did that.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, I'm tired.
Yeah,
I didn't realize I'd done so
much. Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that display, because that was 3 years ago. That was the last time you were on the show with us, because that's what we were talking about. Boy, that time, I apologize for not having you back sooner. I could have you on every day if you were available. You talk about the memories that these songs bring to you and to me, too, Crystal. I mean that very sincerely. We're about the same age. And let's talk about some of those great songs of yours of the past when we come back with Crystal Gale. Her brand new CD, You Don't Know Me, is out right now.
Out walking after midnight, out in the moonlight, just like we used to do. I'm always walking after midnight, searching for you.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. And there's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Please help me, I'm falling in love with you.
From her new album, You Don't Know Me, Crystal Gayle returns for another segment on our show. And Crystal, I gotta believe that you have created memories with because of your songs. I mean, I can still remember what I was doing. In fact, it was the first radio station that I owned, and I played the devil out of Don't Make Your Brown Eyes Blue. I love that song. And I think I had mentioned to you once before that I do a concert series with a 15-piece orchestra, and one of the great songs that I do of yours is When I Dream. What a beautiful song that is.
It is a beautiful song. Sandy Mason wrote When I Dream. You know, actually, that song I've recorded at least 4 times, different versions. One was an acoustic mandolin and all different things, and then I did the strings, and then we did synthesizer, and then I did the dance remix.
I remember that.
You have the dance remix, so if you want it, we should send it to you.
You know what? I don't have it, but I'd love to hear that again. I remember that. Boy, you know what? When I heard that, I thought to myself, that's pretty unique to take that song and put it into that kind of a format.
There was a couple guys in San Francisco that wanted to do the dance remix, and I said, sure, let's try it. So they came to town, and we put it together, and they were great. They did wonderful versions of it.
You have worked with just about all the legends. Marty Robbins, the great Eddie Arnold, one of the sweetest guys in the world. Jack Green, your brother Jay Webb, George Jones, Baron Young, Buck Owens, Johnny Rodriguez, Merle Haggard. If I ran down all the things that you have been awarded in a remarkable career, we would be here till Christmas, which would work for me, but you probably have other things to do. One of the things, though, was the Cliffy Stone Pioneer Award. What a great guy Cliffy Stone was. Did you ever meet him? He was Tennessee Ernie Ford's big partner.
No, I never did, and I wish I had.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
But there's so many great people in the business from, you know, I look back and, you know, I feel so honored to have worked with String Bean, Grandpa Jones, I mean, Archie Campbell. So as you can see, my heart is in the country that a lot of people wouldn't think about or, you know, think, oh, she was part of that.
Yeah.
I did shows because they come through Indiana, where I grew up, and we'd always go there, and sometimes we'd get looked on as the opening act, you know, where you do the 15 minutes or the 20 minutes, and just had so much fun.
I think a lot of times when people mention country, they don't even know they like it because they have a stigma about it, and nothing against bluegrass guys, but I think a lot of people think right away it's going to be banjo and so on and so forth, and I don't think they realize that all the songs, for example, on this latest CD, You Don't Know Me, are songs that, as I mentioned earlier, were on Top 40 radio, and talk about country today, it sounds altogether different with the artists that are out there right now. Not saying anything against them, but it's more rock and roll than it is ballads. On this CD, why did you name it You Don't Know Me? Everybody knows you.
I was going to name it Am I That Easy to Forget? And I thought, oh, well.
I love it.
You know this business.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
But then I liked You Don't Know Me, because I was going to put it actually classic country, you know, and but some of my reissues from the different labels have had classic in it, and I thought I didn't want it to get confused. So I picked one of my favorites. And, you know, Eddie Arnold was a great friend, great person.
Great person. He was the first guy I ever interviewed on radio, and I was about 15 years old. And I lugged a big tape recorder that looked like the size of a refrigerator on a second floor dressing room at the theater he was performing in. And I was a nervous wreck. And I put the microphone over to him and I said, "Mr. Arnold, it's nice to have you here." And he looked at me with that real sincere look and tone in his voice and he says, "You honor me so by calling me Mr. Arnold." And that's the kind of guy he was.
He was. Great.
Oh, great. Are you out on tour at all?
I have been on tour. I'm home right now, but we'll get back out there. We don't tour as much as we used to.
Right.
You know, we do. If we do 40 to 50 concerts a year, that's plenty. I mean, I used to stay on the road like every good country artist would do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then when I had kids, that cut it back a little bit. You know, you can't travel quite as much. I look back and, you know, I loved all the concerts, the tours, because I worked with Kenny Rogers, Eddie Rabbit. I mean, going back further, Billy Crash Craddock. You know, it was just heaven just being out there and having all this excitement. I love seeing all the women screaming for all these guys. Right.
And all the guys screaming for you. That's the other side.
Yeah.
You're not that easy to forget, I'll tell you right now.
But, it has been a great career, and I'm so glad that I have a career that I can continue to be out on the road. To me, picking songwriters in Nashville, they write from the heart. They have these great songs. To me, the difference now is that people tend to write their own.
Mm-hmm.
They're not as great writers as what these writers were that made a living in Nashville.
Yeah.
And they could make that living. Now, streaming, if they had a song and an album, it carried them through for a while.
Sure.
Now, you know, it's downloads or I guess it's downloads. I don't think they're going away with that.
No, I don't know what they're doing.
Streaming, you just pick the song you want. So writers really don't have a chance anymore.
No, right. And also new artists don't have a chance anymore. It's a corporate thing right now. You can't, what we used to say, work a record. You know, go town from town and work in a record. Now, if we go to your website, is there a list of dates that you're going to be coming up?
We have the tour dates on our website, crystalgale.com. And, of course, we have the store. So want to order the album, we have it there, as well as it's out on, you know, it's on Amazon and Target and Walmart, all the things that you can order it online. You know, we have fun with everything. When we go out on concert, that's really my main goal, is to have fun.
That's right.
That's what we're all out there for.
If you don't have fun, what are we doing it for? And the other thing, too, is that are you going to be in Florida at all, Crystal?
Not that I, you know at this moment, but I hope so soon, because I love Florida. I've been wanting to go to Disney World.
Well, I got to tell you something. Go to Disney World and Universal Studios. That's the area that we're at. But I got to tell you something. I urge everyone, ladies and gentlemen, to go out and get this CD. This is a sensational CD. It's called You Don't Know Me. If you love the country music and the songs and the emotion that made that music so famous for the last 50, 60 years, you're going to love this CD. And when you hear Crystal's treatment of it, you're going to go crazy. And Crystal, let's not make it another 3 years before you come back and join us again, okay?
I know. Well, I'll come by Universal in that area, and we'll do this live.
We'll do this live, and we'll also, when you're in concert, I will be in the audience. I'll come backstage, and we'll chat, okay?
Okay, sounds great.
Crystal, thank you, dear. It's been a pleasure, and keep up the good work. Never retire.
Well, we love it, and thank you for enjoying my music and playing my music through the years. Thank you.
I will continue. Thanks, Crystal.
Thank you.
Our very special guest is one talented lady, Crystal Gale. The brand new CD is out right now. You don't know me, get it. And there's more to come with Ron Seggi today.
They say you found somebody new, but that won't stop my love and you. I just can't let you walk away. Forget the love I have for you.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Saddle Ridge Fire in Los Angeles has charred more than 7,500 acres, and authorities say it is 19% contained.
We had some flare-ups, but nothing very significant.
LA City Fire Captain Brandon Silberman talking about the work since the winds have now died down and moisture is now back in the air. He says, while weather conditions have changed, the rest has not.
These crews are working in some steep terrain, so it is very difficult work.
One person has died from a heart attack, a man in his upper 50s who was fighting the fire with a garden hose. Also, the Sandalwood Fire, which is about 90 miles to the east, a person died when a wildfire tore through a mobile home park. Dozens of homes have been destroyed. Thousands of LA area residents remain evacuated. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan has resigned. He said he wanted to spend more time with his family. This is USA Radio News.
Dish TV is better than cable TV. Why? Because you can save 45% on packages compared to your high-priced cable bill. Wow. Take those giant scissors out and cut the cable and save with Dish TV. Plus, you get a free DVR upgrade to record your favorite shows and free installation. And with Dish Anywhere, you can watch TV for free on your mobile device. Act fast. You can save hundreds of dollars. Does your cable company do that for you? I don't think so. Get all the best TV programming at your fingertips at a fraction of the price of cable TV. So say adios, arrivederci, goodbye to the high cable bill, and save up to 45% on Dish TV packages today. These are limited time offers and can change at any time. Call fast. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Hi, this is George Norrie. I'll be in the Chicago area October 25th and 26th for the Health Freedom Expo. It's going to be an incredible weekend of lectures, workshops, and exhibits with leading experts and the newest products in natural and alternative medicine. Joint speakers Jeffrey Smith, Lisa Oz, Patch Adams, Ocean Robbins, and Doc Wallach. And get your tickets today at TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com. You have a right to a naturally vibrant and healthy life. That's TrinityHealthFreedomExpo.com or call 1-888-658-3976.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project, so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
All across the USA and around the world, you are listening to Ron Segi today. After almost 30 years of doing this syndicated show, I finally get a chance to talk to a person I've wanted to talk to for a long time. And I was telling her just before we went on the air that I have followed her career and her work. She's terrific. She really is. And she has written several books. Seven, in fact, is the one I have in my hand called Leadership in Turbulent Times. She is the renowned premier presidential historian and Pulitzer Prize winning author. Joining us right now is Doris Kearns Goodwin. Doris, welcome to the show. At last we get a chance to
chat. Thank you. Hello, hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's been a pleasure. And I got to tell you something. I went through this book like a surgical knife through butter. And as I mentioned to you in the before we went on the air, I have a replica of the Oval Office in my home and just acquired the Resolute Desk. So you can see how kind of a fanatic I am.
That is pretty incredible. Wow. I've got to see that someday.
I would love to have you over to Break Bread, sit in that office, and talk to you. But let's talk about
this
book.
It's a deal.
I had to put down the President's Club to start reading this, okay? This book is put into four themes, okay? Before public life, life crisis, life in the White House, and then the review of how the presidents that you discuss in this book handled the crisis. But why these presidents at this time? And the presidents, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about is T.R., Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, Abraham Lincoln, and Lyndon Johnson.
Well, these were the four presidents that over five decades of studying the presidency that I felt I knew the best. So it may seem strange that Lyndon Johnson was in the other three, but I thought if I focused on domestic politics that he absolutely deserved to be. And what happened is when I finished Teddy and Taft, and I was trying to figure out, okay, which president do I do now? And each time I would move from one to the other, I would feel like I was leaving an old boyfriend behind. I'd feel guilty because I'd have to move that guy's books out, bring the next guy in. So I thought, well, what if I just look at my four guys again that I knew the best and contrast their strengths, look at their weaknesses, see what family resemblance of traits there were, and talk about leadership, which is what I've been interested in since I was a grad student at Harvard. And it turned out to be a great project. And Turbulent Times was chosen as the title because it was the turbulent times they each one lived in. Mm-hmm. I couldn't have predicted that it would be so relevant as it is when it finally came out.
Well, isn't that the truth? Now, as you alluded to, you have written books about all four men, and basically this is centering on how they handled crisis. Now, you have two Republicans and you have two Democrats, and you say that Abe was, of course, a big crisis, the threat of democracy, and that, of course, was huge. T.R. settled the coal strike. You have Franklin Roosevelt, who was involved with the coming out of the Depression and going into World War II, and, of course, LBJ, who is referred to as a prairie dog lawyer, but he turns around and he does a great job in the domestic front, but a terrible job on the international front. So these are the big items of each of those individuals, right, Doris?
Correct. And, you know, the thing you said at the beginning is true, too, that in the early part of the book, I start off when they're just running for office for the first time, in part because I want to show their vulnerabilities and their mistakes and the arrogance and how they learn as they grow older, because I think young people thinking about leadership on the presidential level, they'll think, oh, these people are in Mount Rushmore. They, you know, how can I identify with that? That's what a college student had said to me one time. So that's the early part. And then each one of them goes through a very personal crisis that I think once you've gone through something really difficult, Lincoln had a near suicidal depression,
mm-hmm.
and he came out of it only because he said, you know, I haven't done anything yet to make any human being remember that I've lived. He had such a terribly terrible early life. FDR had, of course, the polio attack that left him a much more empathetic man. Teddy lost his wife and his mother on the same day in the
right.
same house, went to the Badlands, and that experience made him a Westerner as well as an Easterner. And LBJ had a massive heart attack in his 40s and comes out of it saying, if I died now, what would I be remembered for? And then they get thrown on the stage where a huge crisis is going to be involving them. But they've been through something before. They've seen resilience. They've known as long as they can learn from it, they're going to be able, hopefully, to have the confidence to get through the next phase.
But I found interesting, though, all four men, although later, and of course Monday morning quarterback is one thing, but later in life we realize that they all had, as you said, fragile beginnings. I mean, Lincoln certainly had his problems dismissing the major hurdles, but he had his own personal problems. Roosevelt, T.R., here's a man that was a tough guy. I mean, he was shot and went on with a speech. I mean, you talk about a guy that was
right.
a tough cookie. There's no doubt about that. In the case of Franklin Roosevelt, his own partners in his law firm were not impressed by him, and certainly LBJ always had that, and you would know this better than anybody, always had that complex of not being, you know, from a Harvard or Yale. He was from a, you know, a teacher's college in Texas. So they didn't really come out of the chute looking like they're going to do what they did, but then developed into it.
I think that's really important for people to understand. I mean, even as you suggest with FDR, when he was 28, he was not considered, you know, a very good student at any of the schools he'd been in. He wasn't even being a good partner or young intern in the law firm where he was. And then they come in to him and ask, would you like to run for a Democratic seat in Dutchess County? And he immediately says yes. And once he gets on the campaign trail, he knows this is what he wants to be. One of the things that combines all of them, at some point, there's a voice within, this philosopher William James said, that tells you, this is what I want to be. And then you somehow kick into motion, into gear. But even then, he wasn't a great speaker at first. You know, Eleanor said that she was there at the time, that he would somehow pause so long between sentences, FDR did in that first run, that you thought he was never going to go on. But then after a while, when he got more confident, you thought he'd never go off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch them when they're still developing. And I think it just gives people an idea, not just as political leaders, but as leaders in any field, as long as there's the humility to understand where you've gone wrong and acknowledge your errors and grow, you can become a much better leader than you were at the start.
I think one of the problems, and this is just my personal opinion, with the leadership today is no one reads about the leadership of yesterday. And I think that's where a problem. You know, my mantra has always been, you can't figure out things today or tomorrow if you're not knowing what happened yesterday, because it kind of repeats itself in some way, shape, or form. You know, the other thing...
Oh, you're speaking something that matters so much to me. I mean, I think that's really right, that what's interesting about these four guys is that Lyndon Johnson's hero was Franklin Roosevelt.
Right.
And he really had met him when he was young, but he had read about what he'd done. He knew about it. And then Franklin's hero was Teddy Roosevelt.
Right.
Teddy read about Abraham Lincoln during this whole summer of this coal strike. He read the 7 or 8 volumes that Nicolay and Hay, and he got solace from knowing the difficulties Lincoln had been through. And then Lincoln's hero was George Washington.
Right.
So they all knew about the persons before, and history is such an important way for you. Don't start these things alone. People have been through these things before, and you can learn from them.
Absolutely, and I think that's what's missing in politics today. You know, and TR and LBJ came into this office of presidency actually the same way. I mean, they were vice presidents when the president was assassinated, but for some reason, and maybe it's because of the media today, for some reason I seem to think, after reading the book, that the LBJ way that he got in was more shocking to the nation than Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I mean, obviously, McKinley was assassinated, as was John Kennedy. But I think the difference is that with John Kennedy, the people watched in real time
mm-hmm.
the murder of John Kennedy and the murder of Lee Harvey Oswald. It was part of that saturation of the difference in television versus hearing that McKinley had been assassinated and then he didn't die right away. But I think there's no question that the country was convulsed by that change with JFK. And LBJ's great benefit was that he was able to go up to that Congress and talk about healing and talk about civil rights as the way, the first priority, which was a hugely risky thing for him to do because that was the bill that was stuck in the Congress when John Kennedy was killed.
Mm-hmm.
And he deserves, before the Vietnam War took over, enormous credit for having brought Republicans and Democrats together for all that 89th Congress. It was incredible what they did. Aid to education, Medicare, Medicaid, you know, aid to the cities, voting rights, civil rights. It changed the foundation of modern America. And part of it was that after JFK was killed and there was a sense of hate having been part of that, people wanted to come together in order to show that we weren't that kind of a country where you could have, you know, what Oswald did and what people's reaction to it was.
Doris, we're going to pause for a second, take a quick break. We'll be right back with our very special guest, Doris Kearns Goodwin. As I mentioned in the introduction, the premier presidential historian. She has written books about several U.S. presidents, and in this latest effort, she has combined four of those presidents, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin Roosevelt, and LBJ, in a book that is entitled Leadership in Turbulent Times. And Doris Kearns Goodwin and I will return with another segment live all across the USA and around the world with Ron Segi today.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. Go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. We understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. There's one thing we're focused on, and that's beating this thing.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Time is the one thing that we want more of. Without the donors, I wouldn't have my Audrey. They take care of our housing. They take care of our food. In addition to the best medical treatment that my daughter could ever have. So it allows me to focus on my daughter and getting her better.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at St.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Edgy today in another segment with the premier presidential historian Doris Kearns Goodwin. Her new book is out right now, Leadership in Turbulent Times. And see something that I find extremely interesting. You say that Teddy Roosevelt, I keep on saying TR because Nixon used to use that rendition of reference to him. He would handle today's media better than the other three gentlemen.
Yeah, I think if we needed somebody to come back today, Teddy knew what it was like to be the center of attention. He was the bride at the wedding and the baby at the baptism and the corpse at the funeral. So he could capture everybody. He has a pithy statements that could be on Twitter, speak softly and carry a big stick. You know, don't hit until you have to and then hit hard. He even gave Maxwell House the slogan, good to the very last drop. But more importantly, he understood that the country was divided during the Industrial Revolution, that workers were feeling cut off from the capitalists, that people in the country were feeling cut off from people in the city, and that they were blaming immigrants. And he was able to talk about a square deal for the rich and the poor, the capitalist and the wage worker. And he did it with fire and with cartoon quality. I mean, media would lap him up today, but he'd be fighting for a broader cause, and I think that's what would make him probably the best of the four for today's world.
And don't forget the teddy bear.
And don't forget the. I mean, that's how popular he
yeah.
was.
Yeah.
He goes on a hunt. They make him try and kill a bear because he hadn't gotten a bear, and he refuses to. And suddenly the bear becomes a cartoon, littler and little bear, and Teddy's saying no. And teddy bear becomes the most popular toy in American history.
Isn't that something? All people at some point or another needs to feel loved. These four gentlemen needed to feel loved. I do think that Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson probably had that feeling more so than the first two presidents.
I think that's right. I mean, I think that certainly Lyndon Johnson did.
Yes.
In the end, it comes from a lack of confidence. You know, that I think he had had parents, Lyndon Johnson did. His mother adored him when he was little, but then when he didn't do well in school, she seemed to break away from him. So he thought that the way to get people's love was to do something, to accomplish something, and that's an endless trait. I mean, you can never succeed enough if that's what you're basing people's feelings of love for you on. FDR had a certain kind of internal confidence from the time he was young, but he really had a charming desire whenever he met somebody to make that person like him. And sometimes he would even agree with them when he didn't really agree at all, to not have contention in the meeting. I never thought about what you said, but I think that's right. I think Lincoln and Teddy were less probably than FDR and LBJ in terms of needing that manifestation of having won somebody over when they meet them.
And I think from a standpoint of economics, Abraham Lincoln and LBJ, they were both prairie dog lawyers and really made money later on in life, although I don't think Lincoln was ever really that big. But there was a great deal of money made by Lyndon Johnson through a lot of broadcast holdings and some questionable investments over the years. Those two probably in the beginning were most alike. I've always been fascinated, not only how you became interested in presidential history, how you became so close to Lyndon Johnson. I could go on for days about that. You're only 24 years old, a student at Harvard, and you were selected to join the Fellows of the White House. And here you are in a dance floor in the White House, and you had been very vocal about the removal of LBJ from office with an article in the New Republic. You were against the Vietnam War, yet Lyndon Johnson picks you out of a crowd and says, I want that girl to be in the White House because I can win her over. If anybody can, I can. What went through your mind when you heard that?
No, I mean, you told the story exactly right. I mean, I had written this article before the dance in the White House to celebrate my having become a White House fellow with the other fellow 16 of us, but it came out in the New Republic after the dance. And once it said how to remove Lyndon Johnson in 1968, I was sure that was the end of my White House fellowship. But he did say, as you suggest, bring her down here for a year. And I never fully understood, you know, why he had done that. I mean, I think it was partly because I loved listening to him, and I ended up going to the ranch and helping him on his memoirs. He told great stories, many of which weren't true, but they were great nonetheless. It was partly because I was young, partly maybe because I was a woman, so he might not have thought of me as judgmental as I might have been, but he knew I was going to become an historian, so that mattered to him, that it was the Harvards of the world that would be getting to know him. But it was the most extraordinary experience that I probably ever had. It's what made me a presidential historian. My PhD was in Supreme Court history, so I would have been studying people in their robes rather than these presidential characters. So I'm really grateful that I had that experience. And I took it for granted when I was young. Now I keep thinking, oh, all these things I wished I'd asked him. Because I was there day after day after day in the ranch. I got to know him really well. And he was so sad in those last years that he wanted to talk about the times that were good. So we would talk about the New Deal times. We'd talk about the civil rights stuff. And that's what I was working on in the memoirs, was the civil rights chapters and his relationship with Congress. We had split up the memoirs. So it may be that that's why he wanted me to be there. It wasn't talking about Vietnam all the time.
Very unusual individual, no doubt about it, warts and all. In fact, I remember Jack Valenti's book.
Oh, Jack Valenti, of
course. Jack Valenti's book was fascinating because he says, you know, the guy did things in public he wouldn't do in private. And
Exactly. He was a colorful character, the most interesting political figure I think I've ever met. Real force.
Was it difficult to stave off his advances? Because you've talked about that candidly.
Well, the thing that was interesting was that I was always talking to him about steady boyfriends, even when I didn't have them at all, because I knew he had a minor league womanizing reputation.
Mm-hmm.
But everything was working perfectly until one day he said he wanted to discuss our relationship, which sounded ominous when he took me to the lake, conveniently called Lake LBJ, wine, cheese, red check table, all the romantic trappings, and he started out, Doris, more than any other woman I've ever known, and my heart sank. I thought, oh, my God. And then he said, you remind me of my mother.
Oh.
It was pretty embarrassing. So who knows what that meant. But, no, I mean, luckily, he had wanted me to go down there and work full time. And I knew how powerful he was, and that if I left Harvard and went there full time, that then I wouldn't have the power to withstand him, not just sexually, but just as a person,
sure,
really.
Sure.
So I said I'd like to work part-time, and I'll come down on Christmas vacations and summers from teaching at Harvard. And at first he said, no, it's all or nothing, and I thought that was it. And then the last day he was in the presidency, he called me and said, all right, part-time. And I think that's what gave me the strength, because I knew I'd be going back, that I was coming and going and not in his presence the full time. Turned out, thank God I did it. It would have been an enormous loss.
Yes, it would have.
I hadn't gotten to know him, because it helped every other book that I've ever written to be empathetic about these other people as I learned to be about him.
All four presidents died. Do you agree they died with the attitude that they unfinished their biggest challenge?
Oh, without a question. And Lincoln knew that Reconstruction was the biggest challenge that had to be faced, and he was just beginning to face it. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt died hoping that he would get into the presidency again in 1920, because there were things left unfinished.
Right.
And FDR knew that the most important thing was what to do after the war for the peace. And LBJ, of course, knew there was more to do on civil rights. So, yes, absolutely.
This is a must-read. It's called Leadership in Turbulent Times, done by the best, Doris Kearns Goodwin. Doris, can I tell you that this has been a very big honor for me, and I hope that one day you can come back, and even more importantly, visit me in Orlando and see my Oval Office.
I would love to. It is a promise on my part, and if it's a deal on yours, it's made.
It's made. Great. And thank you for doing this.
I loved it. There's not even a question. It was great.
Okay. Thank you, Doris, and we'll look forward to having you back, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Doris Kearns Goodwin has been our guest, presidential historian. And there's more to come with Ron Seggi today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
And I want to share an experience I had. I'm a classic automobile enthusiast, and recently I wanted to change the color of one of my most treasured and rare cars. I got a quote to have it painted and almost fainted. The cost was terrible, and they couldn't guarantee satisfaction. That's when I called SignZoo. I had seen expensive cars like Bentleys, Lamborghinis, Rolls Royces, Cadillacs, Mercedes, vinyl wrapped, and they looked better than paint and more resistant to the elements and a whole lot less expensive. SignZoo explained to me that paint replacement you can make a green car red with finishes that cannot be achieved with paint. Some of these wraps include carbon fiber, camouflage, 3D, and embossed textures. And boat owners, SignZoo wraps more boats than anyone in the country. They're licensed, insured, and professionals service the country nationwide, and their warranty in the industry is the best. Check out their website at SignZoo.com. That's SignZoo.com, and make your car or boat pop with a new look. That wraps up hour number one of Ron Sedgy today, but we have another hour to go. I want to thank my guest this first hour, Crystal Gale, talking about her brand new CD. Boy, she's a talented lady. Doris Kearns Goodwin, the premier presidential historian with the new book, Leadership in Turbulent Times. Next hour, one funny guy, Jeff Allen, a stand-up comedian that just hits it right on the nose when it comes to the topical stuff. Then Melissa Tittle will be here. She's an investigative journalist. She has a new documentary called Unearthing Nazca, the complete story. It's about mummies they found in Peru. And then we'll talk cybersecurity with Stacey Nash. And that's all coming up next hour with Ron Sedgy today.